This is our sixth study in the subject of Christian fasting, true Christian fasting. The last time that we were together, I was attempting to lead you into a study on fasting in relation to your seeing answers to your prayers. I want to continue that today, and I want to expand on it by attempting to set before you fasting in terms of seeing things change for the better. The verse that I gave to you this morning in our prayer sheet was from Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Isn't that a wonderful promise? In fact, if you want to be encouraged, you should read and reread Psalm 34, where so many things are said about prayer and the Lord delivering us from all of our fears. I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, sometimes I think as we go through the days and we see the afflictions of people in our own church and people around us, that we tend to grow discouraged or even despondent. And we should not allow ourselves to do that, but sometimes that happens. Now, how do you combat that? Well, one of the ways that you can do that to combat it is to fast. And couple fasting with prayer and know and understand that God is seeing you. God is a God who sees. You remember Hagar, the servant of Abraham and Sarah, who was kicked out of the house? Well, it was a difficult thing. She and her son, Ishmael, were kicked out of the house, and she went away crying, and suddenly the Lord was there. And after she had talked with the Lord for a little bit, and the Lord had given her great and mighty promises about her son Ishmael, that he would become 12 princes. She said, "You are the Lord who sees. You are the Lord who sees." God has great and mighty purposes which are way beyond us personally. If you think about Hagar, you think about all the trouble there is in the Middle East today. Those descendants, those 12 princes, became all of the Islamic nations that are surrounding Jerusalem today. And yet God is the God who sees. You don't think that there aren't people within the Islamic nations who are saved? Oh, surely there are. Surely there are, because God is a God who sees. And you and I need to understand that no matter what circumstances that we are in, that we worship a God who sees. And so we need to fast in order to see things change for the better. I want you to turn with me over to Zechariah 7, verses 3 to 5. Zechariah 7, verses 3 to 5. I actually think I ought to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read this this morning because it's got a number of very funny names in it, kind of like what happened last week. And if anybody has to suffer through that, I think it ought to be me, don't you? It says, "Now in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chislev, when the people sent Sherezer with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord, and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, 'Should I weep in the fifth month and fast, as I have done for so many years?' Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, 'Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, during these 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets, when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears, so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned. For they made the pleasant land desolate. Now there's a number of things I think that you and I need to take notice of here in regard to these verses. First of all, we need to understand that these people had come through the 70 years captivity. Wow. You think about it, these people had been in Babylon for 70 years. Whole generation had come and was almost gone. And during some of those years, they fasted. They were zealous for the Lord. At least that's how they viewed themselves. They were concerned about their condition. They wanted to see good things take place. They wanted to see answers to their prayers. They wanted to see things get better. And so they couldn't quite understand all of it. They wanted to know whether they should continue to fast. They had been fasting. But God is going to give them an evaluation of their fasting during those years. So it says, in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chislev, when the people sent Sherezer with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? What can we conclude about that, their question? What can we conclude about their question? What were they seeking, would you say? I think they were. They were seeking relief from fasting, Dave says. That's a good answer. What else were they seeking? Well, yeah, go ahead, Rita. Did you want to say something? They were seeking results because they knew, or at least they had heard, no doubt, that the 70 years prophecy had to be fulfilled before they could return to Babylon. They wanted to see things really change so that they could return to Jerusalem, so that they could see the worship set up once again in the temple, which was being rebuilt. They wanted to see God come and do the mighty works of old that he had done with the people through their forefathers. And indeed, God was going to do some of these great things if we were to read all of the book of Zechariah. But he also wanted to give them an evaluation, as I've said, about themselves. Let me ask you this morning if you're willing to be evaluated. Oh, I tell you, not many of us really wants to be evaluated. I think, by the way, most of us, when we examine ourselves, no doubt most of us approve of ourselves and we approve of what we're doing. And if we didn't, then we would feel bad about it and we would think about it and we would go to the Lord and we would cry out to him and say, Lord, why am I like this? wouldn't we? Well, these people wanted to know the Lord's will. The best thing that you can ever have in this life is a good enough relationship with the Lord where you can ask Him to give you a good evaluation about yourself. Lord, show me my own heart. Teach me what I am like. Am I making progress in holiness? Am I walking in love? Do I care about the people around me? Do I minister good works? And am I living by faith? Am I keeping your commandments in a way that pleases you? All of those things we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis when we come in prayer to the Lord. But these people couldn't seem to find the answers that they were looking for, so they came to the priests. It says in verse 3, who were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and the prophet saying, should we weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? There's a time for weeping. There's a time for mourning. And what is that in relation to? Can you tell me? What does the Bible teach us? When we mourn and we weep, what should we mourn and weep in relation to? For our sins. Against God as a nation, as a people, individually, that we would ask the Lord to reveal to us what it is in our hearts that He's displeased with. What it is that He would like to show to us about ourselves. You know, I think that oftentimes we don't realize that the Lord is the God who sees. And so when we pray to see the good things that we would desire come, we don't realize that sometimes we haven't really checked our own heart. Now, we're very willing to look at other people and see where they're missing the boat, but we don't want to look at our own heart. Well, these people were trying to have wisdom. You know, it says if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. Sometimes we need wisdom. Lord knows we need wisdom, and when we ask for it, the Lord will give it to us. He won't upbraid you. He won't say to you, well, you know, you came to me about this before and I gave you an answer and you didn't listen to me. No, He'll give you the answer again if you need it. And He does that with all of us, I'm saying. It's a good thing. It says here that they asked this question and they asked it in sincere wisdom. Should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord in verse 4, Zechariah 7 verse 4, came to me saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? And I would say to you this morning that that is really one of the keys to true Christian fasting. If you're going to fast, your fasting isn't just mourning and weeping. That's a part of it. We've talked about this afflicting of yourself in fasting. It's righteous afflicting of yourself. It's not just to be seen by men. But in line with that, we need to understand what's being said here. When you fasted during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? In other words, did you fast so that you might know me better, that you might sense my presence better in your life? So that I would speak to your heart. By the way, beloved, does God speak to your heart? I sometimes think that we as Reformed Baptists are so scared of being charismatics that we don't believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts day by day, but He's there. And He's paying attention to your heart and He's ministering to your heart day by day. Our glorious, faithful God resides in our hearts, and He says, when you fast or when you pray, do you pray for me? Notice the wording. Not fast to me, but fast for me. Very interesting, isn't it? I think it falls in line with what you find in Luke chapter 11. I think it's verse 13. If you know how to give good gifts to your children. And don't we know how to do that? I trust you do. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father in heaven give good things, it says in one place, to those who ask Him? But in Luke it says, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And let me just ask you, if you pray that way, or when you fast, and when you pray, and when you couple those two things together, do you ask for God? More of God. Lord, I need more of You. I need Your presence. I need Your power. I need Your help. I need Your wisdom. I need grace day by day, because I don't understand if I'm really living up to all the grace and truth that I've been given. And if I'm not, I need to know what I should do. And so that's what these people, I think, were asking for. It's not as though they weren't sincere. It's maybe that they weren't really asking and going about it in the right way. It was like, this is what we've done, and this was the appointed day of the fast, and this was the month and everything, and we did this for all these years. But the question at the end of it from the Lord was, did you do it for Me? When you fast, is it just for yourself? Or is it for God? That is, not only that you would understand yourself better, as I've just said to you, but that you also might understand what you as a person in the kingdom of God can do for Him. Because, beloved brethren, the days and months and years are going by at a tremendous rate. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying, but to me it's rather scary, actually. And the reason it's scary to me is that I don't want to waste that time. And I want to, God helping me, have God's kingdom interests at heart. And how does that happen? It happens when I fast and I pray and I ask God to show me, what can I do to further Your kingdom and Your glory, or to promote it, or to speak to people around me, or whether it's to hand out tracts or to talk to them or to do some good work in relation to them. Do I think about my neighbors and what they need? Do I think about my coworkers and what they need? Do I think about my parents and what they need, or my children and what they need? And am I living my life to You in this regard? Am I living for You, to know You better, like Paul says in Philippians 3, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection? Just let me ask you that question very simply. And this is something I have to ask myself, because I need it. Am I experiencing day by day, in my walk with Jesus Christ, the power of His resurrection? And the fellowship of His sufferings. By the way, they go hand in hand. I think sometimes that we want the power and we want to experience the presence and the power of God, but we don't understand that in relation to that, oftentimes what will happen is that, and this is where fasting comes into play, fasting is an act of self-denial. And it leads us then to other acts of self-denial without those acts of self-denial being seen by men. Do you see that, dearly beloved? Oh, this is a precious thing. It's a precious thing because, honestly, this is why Jesus says when you fast, you don't make it apparent to people around you that you're fasting, but anoint your head and make yourself as presentable as you can, so that you won't be like a hypocrite, that you won't be doing this to be seen by men. But I'm saying in true Christian fasting, it leads to acts of self-denial, which then lead to further acts of self-denial in terms of good works to people, toward people around you, and towards your pursuing God for Himself. Oh boy. Now, what I'm telling you this morning, I'm hoping that you're grasping, because when you grasp it, it becomes, I believe, the most exciting thing in living your Christian life. It really does. Jesus says, no one can be my disciple unless he denies himself, picks up his cross, and follows me. We all want to be his disciples. But sometimes I think we just look at that statement and we go, boy, that seems really hard, Lord. I don't know how in the world you can expect me to be denying myself when on every side there are people that are not denying themselves. Well, what I'm trying to say to you here this morning is this. You have a relationship with Christ if you've believed in him. And when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's meant to be the most exciting thing in your life. You and him going down the road together. In whatever station that he's placed you in life, it's you and him going down the road together. I know you've got a husband, you got a wife, or maybe you don't, but and you need to pay attention to people around you. And that's all part of it. But the main thing is, do you pray and do you fast for God himself, like this verse of Scripture is saying? Isn't that precious? I find that to be just very precious. Because when you do these things, then there comes to you by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, dwelling in you, a pleasure of being with God. Wherever you are, in whatever circumstances that you are. You know, whether you're in the hospital, whether you're hurting and in pain, whether you're experiencing the greatest joys in your life, that the Lord Jesus Christ is walking with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You walk with him. And I walk with him and I talk with him and I tell him that I am his own. And how does that go? And the joys I bear that. And the joys that we share as we tarry there, none other can ever know. Well, it's really true. And so that keeps us from being hypocrites, by the way. None other can ever know sometimes the sorrows of your heart, or the desires of your heart, or the things that you want to see come to pass in your life or in the life of others. But by fasting, you come to see that more clearly, when that's coupled with prayer. Because if you're fasting to and for God. Why? Because God reveals himself to his people. I will give you the Holy Spirit, and he will come and reveal more of Christ to you and the Father, so that truth becomes precious to you. Just let me ask again whether truth is precious to you. The truth of the Bible. Do you abide in his word? If you abide in my word, you're truly disciples of mine. But when you abide in his word, you're meant to drink in the life of Christ in and through that means. I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But how precious a thing it is to realize that if we are in him, that his life is in us. And that life then nourishes our soul. Is your soul being nourished here this morning? Is your soul being nourished day by day? That's the question that this leads to. That's what we want to really see. It's a good thing if you're nourished with the words of sound doctrine here this morning. It's a better thing than if you're nourished by those words, take it away, and then you're able to walk closely with Christ. Blessed be the God who daily bears my burden. Can you say that? Wow, it's a precious thing. Well, turn over to Zechariah 8:19. It's right next to it here. You should be able to see it. Zechariah 8:19. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah, therefore love, truth, and peace. Thus says the Lord, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord. And seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will also go. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We're going to need to close, but I want you to see here that sometimes your fasting should lead you to actual feasting, and that the actual fast that the God was commanding them for those dear people in that time was that they no longer mourn and cry, but that they would feast because the Lord was going to do great things for them. Well, let's pray together. We thank you, Father, for this time together this morning. We ask that you would fill us with the good things of your grace and truth, that your name would be magnified in us and glorified through us, and that our walk with you would be close and sweet. Help us to understand what to do to promote this in terms of fasting and prayer. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.